man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy,
country boy
can survive.
Can survive. Country Welcome, folks. This is James Kelso, surviving up here in North Dakota, and eager to hear from you on today's live radio show, this installment of the Trump Phenomenon for September 13th, 2018. Let's see, any bad news to bring? I don't think so. I think all the news I'm going to present tonight is good, even the news that seems to seems bizarrely awful, such as the... the Dianne Feinstein secret letter concerning justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Oh, my gosh. We'll get into that in the show here. We'll also address, I'll start out here with addressing the story of the hour, which is Hurricane Florence. And I think the good news here, unless I've been watching it all day, and unless I've missed some something that's happened in the last hour, the good news for Donald Trump and for us, for our people, is it doesn't appear that this hurricane is that devastating. I so far I haven't heard of any fatalities. I haven't heard of any mass destruction of property, and it looks like the biggest threat is big time flooding. So lots of people will have beach houses that are up to the, you know, first or second floor in water. But that isn't that shocking. That's when you build a beach house on the sand, that's part of the deal. That's baked in the cake when you take that chance. So none of those people are that surprised that their house, the beauty of being on the surf, is balanced with the risk that you're on the surf. So that's... it looks like that's, let's hope it stays that way, and that that story does not become, take away from or obscure the really important news of the Trump phenomenon. Now, a little of the Trump phenomenon news did, in fact, get obscured by the hurricane. Donald Trump wisely chose to cancel two big rallies, one today and one tomorrow. Today's rally in Cape Girardeau, boy, I was really looking forward to that. And that on the Mississippi River there in southeast Missouri. And then tomorrow, a rally was scheduled in Jackson, Mississippi, another huge rally. These are, you know, 10 to 15,000 person rallies. Both of them canceled. And just, you can, you know, figure it out for yourself with a weather hurricane emergency going on, possibly a calamity, just not a the right time to have rallies. So those two things didn't happen. Let's see. I've got some good news. I want to put this into discussion. I like to go to our European brothers and sisters, people exemplified by Viktor Orban, to show that the Trump phenomenon is sweeping Europe, sweeping the whole European world. So we'll go to a story on Viktor Orban here today. And then here's a surprising story from the Dalai Lama, where he says Europe should stay European. I'll go to that story. I may start with that story. It's rather surprising. What do we know about the Dalai Lama? He was born in 1935, I think. Look, yes, in 1935. So he's 83 years old. I've met him one time, and he's a very friendly, affable guy. I've described this maybe one or two times before, that I was out in Palisades Park in Santa Monica, California, and there was somebody, I was watching the sunset, and there was another person watching the sunset on the bench near mine, and I didn't notice at the time that this guy was not your average guy. He had security men all around him, behind the trees, all over the place. There were security guys. I didn't notice that until I realized who he was. But I made eye contact with him, and he waved to me and said, "Come on over. Sit down. Let's talk." And so I got to talk with the Dalai Lama. And this was, I don't know, how many years ago was this? Somewhere around, sometime shortly before the year 2000. And, but anyway, here's what he said today. And of course, he's the spiritual leader of the Tibetan people and really their leader. He lives in exile, driven out of Tibet by the communist, the nasty, vicious communist Chinese, the same communist Chinese that run communist China today, and who are trying to exterminate the Tibetan people in an act of genocide, displacing them, throwing them out of their own country, denying them positions in their own country, basically destroying Tibet is what the Chinese are doing. And it, of course, Tibet, a very ancient country with wonderful tradition. Their great religious tradition is Buddhist. And the a very great tradition. Let us go to the story. Here it is at Breitbart. The Dalai Lama, "Europe belongs to Europeans." That's a quote. "Refugees should return and rebuild their homelands." Oh, I like this. The Dalai Lama has told a press conference in Sweden. We talked in the last few days about the victory of the Sverige Demokraterna, the Swedish Democrats, who advocate for exactly the thing that the Dalai Lama is espousing. A press conference in Sweden that Europe belongs to the Europeans. Now, let that burn into your mind. Europe belongs to the Europeans. Now, the Dalai Lama is not some minor figure. He's actually, various polls have been taken showing that he is the most popular man on earth. Interesting. And the reason is people admire his courage, a lot of courage, and his integrity, and his also just the beauty of his life, the way he is. "Europe belongs to the Europeans, asserting that refugees should be repatriated so they can rebuild their homelands." Now that's common sense. My goodness. Speaking in the multicultural city of Malmo, M-A-L-M-O, with the umlaut over the O, where nearly half of residents, listen to this, half of residents are of foreign background, meaning they're not Swedes. I like that, foreign background. Even Breitbart has to use terminology like that. With Iraqis making up the largest single group, the leader of Tibetan Buddhism said Sweden is seen as a, quote, peaceful, generally prosperous country, unquote, with a relatively small gap between rich and poor. Spontaneously, reports Norrköpings Tidningar, that's the a Swedish publication, the Dalai Lama then spontaneously moved on to talk about one of the biggest issues in the Swedish election, the reception of refugees. This is the election in which the Sverige Demokraterna just did so remarkably well. They came in third, noting that a large number of immigrants have settled in Europe from the Middle East and elsewhere. The Nobel Peace Prize winning spiritual leader said it was good for nations to help a refugee who's really facing danger against their life, unquote. Receive them, help them, educate them. This is all a quote. But ultimately, they should develop their own country, said the 83-year-old Tibetan. Boy, bingo. I think Europe belongs to the Europeans, he added, stressing that countries like Germany and Sweden should make clear that refugees, quote, must return to their homelands and rebuild them, unquote. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that great? It just cuts through all the BS. You just, you know, make it a solid, staunch policy. hey, you're not from here. You're from Mexico. You're from Nigeria. You're from Somalia. You're from India. That's where you belong. And your children, your progeny. I don't care whether they were born in the U.S. They're not Americans. You know, if I happen to have been born while my mother was, on a trip through China, I wouldn't be a Chinaman. I'm an American. Duh. Now, by the way, here's a note here in this article. Get this. In Germany, just to show you how bad it is, what percentage of children under 5 years old do you think are now not Germans? They're calling it migrant background. What percentage? Now, by the way, this number might be even higher because some people who may have been there for a while are probably not being categorized as migrant background. They've been there for two generations, maybe. 40% of children under five in Germany are not Germans. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. To whom does the future belong? Us oldsters? Who will be here in 50 years running Germany? It's the kids who are under five right now. They'll be 55. They'll be at the peaks of their careers. They'll be running Germany. And we're looking at a situation where half of them are from places like Turkey, Somalia, Syria, and Iraq. Visiting Sweden to celebrate the 80th anniversary of its international anti-poverty efforts, the Dalai Lama made the comments on Wednesday, 3 days after Sweden's general election, in which the Sweden Democrats, a party reviled in both local and international media for its opposition to mass migration, gained a record share of the vote. I've forgotten the exact percentage, but it's something like 27%, in a race with like about five parties dividing it up. So they really did well. It is not the first time that the Buddhist icon, who is revered by millions of followers around the world and millions of admirers, including me, has commented on migration politics in Europe, having previously emphasized the importance of maintaining the continent as a homeland for its native peoples. And he says, from a moral point of view, too. Speaking to Germany's Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung newspaper in 2016, the Dalai Lama said refugees, quote, should be admitted only temporarily, stating that he believed that, quote, too many were in Europe, and adding Germany in particular cannot become an Arab country. Germany is Germany. Isn't that wonderful? That's the highlight of my day right there. That from the Dalai Lama. Now let's go to another story on the same theme. Let's go to Viktor Orban. He does not disappoint. Let us find him. Here he is. Get this. The EU Parliament censures Hungary for breaching, quote, core EU values. Remember, the Dalai Lama just said from a moral point of view, these people should not stay in Europe. So who has the moral authority? Who has the moral high ground? Who's more respected as a moral leader? The Dalai Lama or the criminals running the EU? I think the Dalai Lama. This morning's, let's go to the headline here. In what some analysts are considering a historic action in the development of the European Union, the European Parliament voted overwhelmingly yesterday. So I think does somebody out there know? Aren't there about 600 members of the European Parliament, something like that? But they voted overwhelmingly. I don't see the vote listed here. To pursue disciplinary action against Hungary over alleged breaches of the EU's core values. The phrase core values refers to values on which the EU was founded. More than two-thirds of the MEPs, the members of the European Parliament, voted for the censure motion. There's our number there. The first in the EU's history. The first censure motion ever. Wow. A similar motion to censure Poland has not yet reached the European Parliament. There were numerous charges leveled against Hungary's President Viktor Orban, including the following. Let's just read a few of them. Maybe too long a list here to give them all to you. I'll skip through it. It's a list of about 20 charges. And it says, the most divisive charge was Orban's extremely hardline attitude toward migrants. German MEP Manfred Weber, who has announced his bid to become the next president of the European Commission, accused Orban of running a hate campaign against Muslim migrants. And then here, this is a quote from Manfred Weber. One thing must be clear. If we say generally that you have to be afraid about Muslims and attack a religion, then we do the job of jihadis who want to create a clash in our societies. We have invented human rights and not Christian rights on this continent. Now, this guy, Manfred Weber, what a confused dolt. He actually knows, he actually says, we, who does he mean by we? He means us Europeans. We have invented human rights. Now, that's quite a mouthful. Manfred, do you get what you just said? We have invented human rights. That's right. Europe is for the Europeans, as the Dalai Lama said, and that's why he wants it to be for the Europeans, on a moral basis. We invented human rights. Muslims didn't. Their societies are not based on human rights at all. On Tuesday, Orban spoke to the EU Parliament and condemned the expected vote. He said to them, I know that you have already made up your minds. I know that a majority will approve the report, and I know that my speech here today will not manage to change your opinion. But still, I have come here today because you are not going to condemn a government, but a country as well as a nation. You are going to denounce Hungary that has been a member of the family of Christian nations for 1,000 years. I like that. After the vote, Hungary's foreign minister called the vote fraudulent and vowed to challenge it. And then the article continues here. And the writer of this Breitbart article is one of their great writers. Well, actually, I don't know this writer, John Zanakis. He says, almost every nation in the world is becoming increasingly nationalistic and xenophobic as the world goes deeper into a generational crisis. This is happening because the survivors of the horrors of World War II vowed never to allow anything so horrible to happen again. And they have spent their lives doing everything they could to prevent it. But those survivors continue to disappear. And people in younger generations, with no personal knowledge of the horrors of World War II, adopt increasingly xenophobic and nationalistic behaviors that will lead to a new world war. I don't know. I don't think I agree with that paragraph. I don't know. I don't know who's writing that. Let's go down here. Jean-Claude Juncker, the outgoing president of the European Commission, announced in his State of the Union speech on Wednesday a proposal for a new Africa-Europe alliance. Oh, great. He said, the intent is to create a comprehensive continent-to-continent free trade agreement between the EU and Africa. Oh, God. Well, there you go. So there, Viktor Orban, you know, he's one of these, he's like Donald Trump. Where did we get such a great guy? We'll be right back after this break. Call in if you like. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday. When a man could still work, still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? Kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. And all the good times really over.
Hey, we're back, folks. And the say, I want to mention that I heard yesterday, after I closed out my show, I listened to the show that follows this one, and I was really impressed with that show. I really enjoyed it. There were two guests on there, Dr. Alan Sabrowski and Brendan O'Connell. And that was one fascinating interview and colloquy, really, between O'Connell and Sabrowski. Very, very nice. I was very impressed with that. Now, on this show, I myself have insisted for 10 years that 9/11 was an inside job. And then I've also, and then, well, who on the inside did the inside job? And I have said that there are only two groups of people, or two collections of people with the power, with the capability of doing what happened on 9/11. And what happened on 9/11 was controlled demolition. And I like the way Sabrowski, he was very, he said it very well. He said, it's clear that World Trade Center 7 came down by controlled demolition. And if that's true, then Towers 1 and 2, of course, came down by controlled demolition. It just follows. It's obvious. So the World Trade Center 7 is, in fact, the smoking gun. It's the big mistake that whoever committed this most perfidious act in American history, this is where they screwed up. So what are those two groups? I sketched it out this way. It's not some guys who dismounted off their camels and then learned how to fly a Piper Cub at a little Florida airport and then took a box cutter onto a plane, supposedly. That is not, and were directed by a guy living in a cave in Afghanistan. No, afraid not. So what are the two groups with enough power to wire for demolition these three huge buildings, 7, 1, and 2, to arrange the flying of something, we're not sure exactly what, something into the Pentagon, to arrange for the what looks like what Donald Trump was honoring, on 9/11, which was the flight in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which it does have the appearance that people there did try to take control of their, when they realized they were being flown to their deaths, they tried to break into the cockpit, and the crazed jihadists in the cockpit took the plane into the ground. All of that makes sense, actually. Anyway, who has the power to do all of that? Well, either the U.S. government or agencies in the U.S. government or agencies in the Israeli government. Those are the only two that have, you know, how do cops solve crimes? They look for opportunity. They look for capability. They look for motive. They look for someone out there that's a criminologist can tell me the list of things they look for. Well, all of the criteria are met by agencies in the U.S. government and the Israeli government. Now, let me make a clarification here. Apparently somebody thinks I'm too soft on the Israelis. No, I'm not. But I want to make the point, and I'll make it this way, that you have to be careful when you lump people together. You risk turning off your audience and losing your persuasive power. Suppose we know, for instance, that really nasty people like Peter Strzok and John Brennan of the CIA and Lisa Page in the FBI, James Casey and Robert Mueller, we know these are nasty people who have committed the worst act of betrayal of the American people. Right up there with 9/11, actually. And I want to finish the thought right after we come back from this break. I'll plug in a key thought about generalizing. Stay tuned. Like the shoe.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Thanks for tuning us in. And let me make my point about cautioning against generalization is the wrong word, actually. Catch the attention of the engineer here. There we go. Coming down in volume. Yes, I have been saying 9/11 was an inside job. We've been lied to massively about what really happened. That the buildings suffered a controlled demolition, which is the worst crime in American history. 3,000 dead and countless others. The wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and so on, all a consequence of 9/11. $6 trillion wasted in those wars. Other trillions wasted. Princess Homeland Security and like the TSA. How many hundreds of billions of dollars have been wasted on the TSA? Do you remember what it was like to get on an airplane back in the 1950s and 60s? Do you remember what it was like? You had an airplane ticket that was like a red thing with white letters on it that you picked up at a travel agency. There was no internet. You picked up your ticket. Anybody could use your ticket. I could give my airplane ticket to somebody and they could go over to the LAX and get on the plane. They had a ticket. It was like a movie ticket. Anyway, all that money, all that waste and so on. Mossad or the U.S. government, I think, has to be looked at as the, or both, as the culprit. And now here's an interesting thing. Just during the break, I looked it up here just to see how big is Mossad. Well, in the Wikipedia article, which may or may not be that accurate, but they say Mossad has 1,200 employees. Now, realistically, you got to think that any Israeli activity has a small number of employees because Israel is so small. Like, what is it? Like about 4 million Jews in Israel? Very, very small. Smaller than, you know, the population of many American cities. So 1,200 Mossad employees. That's a small group of people. The FBI, the intelligence branch, I didn't realize this. Within the FBI, there's something called the intelligence branch, which is that part of the FBI that handles intelligence, things like 9/11. They have 13,000 sworn members in there and then 18,300 unsworn members. I don't know what that distinction is, but that's 32,000 people in the FBI in intelligence. The Defense Intelligence Agency has 17,000 people. The Office of Naval Intelligence has 3,000 employees. The National Security Agency, NSA, has 30 to 40,000 employees. It's vague because it's a classified statistic, but estimated 30 to 40,000 employees. The CIA has 22,000 employees. So look at the scale there. The American intelligence communities are, you know, 100,000 people easily, more than 100,000 people, up against Mossad with 1,200. So again, as you try to look for who had the capacity, who could have pulled this off? Now, here's what I want to say about generalizing or lumping together. You know, the criminals like Mueller and Rodenstein, you would say, wait, if somebody starts saying, America, look at Rodenstein, look at Mueller. America is just a criminal nation. Look, they've got Mueller and Rodenstein. They're criminals. They're destroying our world. Well, you'd say, wait a minute, wait, Mueller and Rodenstein, yes, these are bad people, but they're not America. Well, the same applies in any area of generalizing everything. In the case of Mossad, is Mossad Israel? No, it's not. It's 1,200 people. And so it's not right to look at a crime by Mossad like the attack on the USS Liberty in June 8th, 1967, and say the Israelis did this. And Israel is answerable. All Israelis, and then Israelis for all time, are answerable for this. You know, 50 years later, you know, how long has it been since 67? It's more than 50 years. People that weren't even born, they're responsible for this crime. No, the number of people who did this terrible act of murder on the USS Liberty is probably not a very large number of people, of insiders within, nasty, nasty people, insiders within the Israeli government and military. And to illustrate that, there's an anecdote from the attack on the USS Liberty you may have heard. One of the Israeli pilots who was ordered in to, strafe the USS Liberty, they sent rockets, napalm, cannon fire. What else did they send in there? Of course, there were torpedoes from the torpedo boats. So much that the USS Liberty has been adjudged to be the most heavily damaged U.S. ship in the history of American warfare. And yet it didn't sink. One of the pilots was flying in, and we have the radio communication that was intercepted with this pilot. And he's flying in. He's been ordered to attack this ship that's off the coast of Sinai there. And he says, I see an American flag. I'm paraphrasing here from memory. I see an American flag. And the controller says, yes, you have your orders. And but I see, it looks like it's an American ship. It's definitely an American ship. The pilot is saying this. And the controller is saying, continue your attack, launch your attack. And the pilot said, what's going on here? The pilot didn't know that he was being ordered to attack an American ship. And he didn't like the assignment. He was trying to get out of it, to stop the attack on the Americans, because he knew this would be criminal. This would be, he would be a murderer if he attacked the American ship. So my point being this, the entire nation of Israel didn't rise up and attack the USS Liberty. A small number of people did. It's wrong to conflate all Israelis with those nasty criminals. In the case of the USS Liberty, or if the Israelis did have the Mossad or some other Israeli agency was responsible for 9/11, it's wrong to conflate that and all of Israel. So if you make distinctions, I think you become much more persuasive to your public. So if you go into a rant saying, you know, the evil Jews, oh, it was the evil Jews, you lose 99% of white people who just tune you out. They just go, whoa, what do you sound like? You know, I won't give any names here, people I know and have been associated with. They just tune you out. You're a hater, and you really are a hater. On the other hand, if you make differentiations and you say, these people, you know, these Jews are great patriots. Michael Savage is a great patriot. Mike Rivero is a great patriot. Rush Limbaugh is a patriot. Mark Levin is a great patriot. They're not part of Mossad. So make those differentiations, and then your audience, think of yourselves out there, you know, we're all salesmen here in this cause. We're trying to sell our idea of patriotism for our people, not for other people's. We're trying to sell that idea to our own people and get them motivated. It's what Donald Trump did. It's the Trump phenomenon. It's the formula that he discovered to motivate our people. And he does do that. So he differentiates. He'll be tough on the Israeli, on parts of the Israeli policy that he doesn't like, and he'll be quite open and generous in other areas, and that is effective. That's my point. Okay, kind of went on for a long time about that. Let's go to John in Missouri. John, you're on the air.
Hi, James.
Yeah.
You said something a little bit ago about we were lied to.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing that listening to RBN has taught me, not that I didn't know it, is we've been lied to our whole life by our government. And
yes.
This 911 is just one of the many.
Yeah, and I would say 911. Yeah, 911 is the big whopper. I mean, it's the biggest lie of all. And and I make the point that Robert Mueller, who was the director of the FBI on September 11th, 2001, and he was responsible. It was his job to find out who did this crime on 9/11 and punish them, expose them, get them either executed or sentenced to life in prison. That was his job. He didn't do that job. We have never found out. The people responsible for 9/11, we have never found out who they were. Also, it was his job as a director of the FBI to what's the basic police procedure? It's called what do they say when they isolate the crime scene? Preserving the crime scene. You preserve the evidence. You yellow tape it, and you don't throw away or destroy the evidence. But Robert Mueller didn't do any of that from his office there in the FBI building on Pennsylvania Avenue. He didn't do any of that. He was complicit and participated in the removal of all of that steel and all of that debris, which contained all the evidence of what actually happened. And he supervised its shipment to Red China, where it was melted down and lost forever. Thank you, Robert Mueller. But now, here we come. You know, deja vu all over again. Who's in charge of this latest crime? Trying to overthrow the duly elected president of the United States, it's Robert Mueller. trying to overthrow Donald Trump. You know, what are the odds? What are the odds that the very same guy, the same nasty, evil guy involved with 9/11, then just out of, you know, 7 billion people on Earth, we come up, Rod the Rat Rosenstein can't come up with anybody other than Robert Mueller to be in charge of the coup d'etat against Donald Trump. You know, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe that really was his job, James.
Yeah. He's a fixer. Yeah. Oh, of course. That's what his James Comey and Robert Mueller, they are known. Their nickname is the fixer, the cleanup man, the bag man. That's what they have done all along. They've been fixers and cleanup men for the Clintons, among other criminal networks, for decades. And now let's go to another story that's current right now, showing the evil of these people who, people like Dianne Feinstein. My gosh, today she comes out with a secret letter written by anonymous people on a secret subject that alleges that, apparently, from what we've heard, that Brett Kavanaugh engaged in some sexual misconduct when he was at Georgetown Prep School, which is 9 through 12. What year did he graduate? Georgetown Prep School. This is mind-boggling that this clown, this ludicrous woman, Dianne Feinstein, is trying to derail looks like it's going to go right through. But in spite of all the Feinsteins and Schumers, a sex charge from his days in high school, what did she do? She gave the letter. Did she give the letter to the Georgetown? Let's see. It's, I think, Bethesda. I think it's in Bethesda, Maryland, the school. It's got 480 students. It's a boys' school, and tuition is $60,000. Room and board is $60,000 a year. It's a very exclusive school. Justice Gorsuch went to this school and graduated a little after Kavanaugh went to the school. Also, Jerome Powell, who is our new chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, he also went to Georgetown. Good Catholic boy. This is the only Jesuit boarding school in America. Dianne Feinstein gave the letter not to the Bethesda Police Department, who would have jurisdiction over, if Kavanaugh, when he's 16 years old or whatever, did something wrong with a girl, that would be the police department in Bethesda. But here we are now, like 40 years later, Feinstein gives it to the FBI. The FBI has no jurisdiction over Georgetown Prep or the conduct of any of the students at Georgetown Prep.
Anybody at this point in time?
Yeah, exactly. Does anybody have any jurisdiction? Now here's the good news. From what I heard on I think it was on Tucker Carlson, I'm not sure, the FBI rejected the letter in 10 minutes. They had it for 10 minutes and said, we're not going to pursue this. Now, we don't know what's in the letter, but we just know that Dianne Feinstein is a real schmuck.
Oh, that woman, she's a fossil. She needs to go away.
I like the guy who comes up with the great terms for people like this is Michael Savage, who knows the great Yiddish terms for these people. And so I know the word schmuck, so I'll use that one. But she's awful. Dianne Feinstein is a piece of work. And this is so low. And Tucker Carlson said this. He said, I don't know in all my years if I've ever seen anybody go this low. He said, let's see, remember the Democratic convention where they said from the podium, when they go low, we go high. Oh, yeah, you're going high, Dianne. Sex charges from the junior prom at Georgetown Prep. Did Brett Kavanaugh at age 16 cop a feel?
What? I mean, really?
I mean, what in the world could this be? So we'll find out, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. We'll find out what Dianne Feinstein's big deal letter is that she came out at the last second. The hearings are concluded. They've already gone through a million documents produced by this guy. They've already submitted 1,300 questions, additional questions that had to be answered in writing by Brett Kavanaugh. It's ridiculous. It's a star chamber. It's a, you know, it's torture. And anyway, I can't wait to see what's in this letter. We've got one more segment. We'll be right back.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why don't we liberate these United States? We're the ones who need it worst. Let the rest of the world help us for change, and let's rebuild America first. Our highways and bridges are falling apart. Who's blessed and who,
and who has been cursed? Here we are. We're back up here. Our last segment of today's talk from Ramadan. A good day in the Trump phenomenon. I just noticed during the break here, I was doing a little more research. I listed Israel's total intelligence assets is being Mossad with 1,200 employees, and that's I left things out there. They have, as we do in America, they have multiple agencies. Shin Bet is another agency. The Wikipedia article does not show how many employees Shin Bet has. But so, but the point being, I see in just a list of FBI, CIA, NSA, DIA, Office of Naval Intelligence, and the intelligence branch of the FBI, I see over 150,000 employees right there. The Israelis have 1/100th of that, 1/100th. And it kind of proportional to our relative populations, as a matter of fact. Israel's about 1/100th the size of the U.S. So that makes sense. Probably the budget is even less than 1/100th. Probably they operate on a cheaper budget. So the less overhead, I'm sure. So the there you go. I think a good day today. John in Missouri is with us, the man who coined the term, our first real American president. And I think, John, don't you think President Trump has acquitted himself beautifully during the hurricane emergency of Florence?
There's very few things he's done that don't sit well with me. The only thing he's done that I didn't like was when he sent them missiles over to Syria. And I hope he stays out of there.
I'm with you,
that. Yeah. A lot of people, I've heard a lot of people call up and not be real happy with old Donald, but I don't know how they can expect one person in a few months or a few years to fix what's gone wrong in the last however long. I mean, how long has it been? Our country's been on a downward slide for 100 years.
Yes. And let me, by the way, before we go, let me give a heads up to people. Steve Bannon, remember we talked a lot about Steve Bannon. We really admired him back in the presidential campaign. Steve Bannon was let go. And for a variety of reasons, some of which we'll probably never know. But in any event, Steve Bannon's a great thinker and a great patriot on the right. He's got a new movie out called Trump at War. And that movie was released yesterday on, I think, the One America Network. And so let's look for that movie. I haven't seen the whole thing. I will look for it, try to find out where I can view it. Trump at War. And Steve Bannon is a filmmaker. He's a pro. And so he really, I'm sure the production values of this movie are very high. It's very good. He's a great communicator. So I saw Steve Bannon being interviewed by, who was interviewing him? Was it Laura Ingraham? I forget who it was. But that's good news. Steve Bannon is back in circulation. You can't afford to lose a mind like that, putting out to pasture. So I'll research that Trump at War from Steve Bannon, and we'll be back with all you folks tomorrow, Friday, and to report more great news from the Trump phenomenon. Thanks, John. See you all tomorrow.
All right.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.